2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22. Flee also youthful lust. We have been having a conversation around, you know, issues concerning youthful lust. And then, like I said, I had a lead on narrowing down more precisely on things concerning sexual fantasies or temptations, if I will call them. And the reasons why I teach this carefully in bits is so that it can help us, you know, become aware of this plague today in many people. Or, you know, this plague that the devil is using as a distraction to many of the youth today. And we had to, again, make references to the Bible and to find out if God really wants us to stay away from some of these things that we see happening around. And then, you know, right there in the epistles, the epistles are simply Paul's letters, okay? Those are what the epistles are. So whenever you hear someone say epistles, it means that we're talking about the letters of Paul. So in one of the epistles, Paul is writing to his son Timothy. And we had already made reference to the fact that Timothy was Paul's son. In fact, Paul had to pick up Timothy while he was a lot younger from Lois and Eunice, who happened to be his grandmother and his mother, respectively. And so Timothy would have been learning the scriptures. When I say the scriptures, I think now I'm more even conscious of the fact that we can't just talk things out, you know, without having to break them down even more simply. So I think I'm coming to that awareness now. So when I say something, I might have to explain. So the scriptures, whenever you hear me make reference to the scriptures will point to the Old Testament, right? Yes, they were called the scriptures. So whenever you read in the Gospels or in the Epistles and you find it make reference to, you know, the word scripture or, you know, the Old Testament or prophecy or the law. Of course, he's speaking about the Old Testament. So Paul in his writing to, you know, Timothy is giving a very clear instruction to Timothy. And why? Because Timothy is going to be a pastor, right? He's going to be pastoring. He's going to be pastoring the young, he's going to be pastoring the old. You know, it's like that time where maybe you feel like we're young people and then God starts sending in people old enough to be your parents and old enough to be your grandparents. And it might look like you disciple them. Yes, that's what it looks like. Because, you know, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, he's going to ordain so much power. Amen. So Timothy has taken some time to learn, and then he finally is becoming pastor of, you know, the churches that were in Ephesus. So Paul knew that Timothy would have been a prey for any of the characters that plague youthful people. Right? So is characters that plague youthful people, you know, sexual fantasy, sexual exuberance, fame, you know, the unbridled appetite, you know, to even many times be something that you are not. Right? That's why, I mean, I was passing somewhere and I saw in the hot afternoon, you know, like people dressed in baggy, you know, sweaters, hats, handkerchiefs, all over their bodies. And I'm like, this hot weather. Eh? And then you have a baggy, your shoe can save someone who is drowning. What? Why all of this? You know, and you know, like, yeah, what's up? They have a certain kind of a flair. Like, you've not gone to US before. You've not even smelled the place before. And you might never get a US citizen. True fact. True, you might never. I said it in my head. You might never get a US citizen card. Yeah, what's popping? Well, hey, just speak English so we know that you're speaking English. Don't make things complicated for us. What's popping? What's tripping? I don't know what was all of this. Yeah. The reasons why they say or they use those expressions is because they understand that. We don't understand what's tripping. When you ask me what's tripping, before God and man, honestly, I don't know what it means. I only try to make meaning that what's tripping means that what's happening or something. I just try to, yeah, like try to relate. But if you ask me like, hey, tell me the truth, what is the meaning of what's tripping? I really don't know. Or what's some very funny, you know, broken. What's popping, you know? I understand that, okay, popping means was, I don't really know what it means. So, you see, it's just an example of being youthful. And I met another man too, who was about like 70 something, and he was dressed like that. And I said, this man doesn't know that he's an old man. Yes, because sometimes when you're old, you don't even know it all. Yeah, you can ask your parents. They'll tell you that the only thing they feel is that maybe their bodies are not as energetic as they, but their mind is almost still the same, maybe with a little bit of experience. Yeah, a little bit of experience, or maybe some experience, depending on what they've gone through in life. But they feel young. They feel like, why are you, daddy, you can't wear shorts outside now. Or maybe your father like, daddy, please, you. Oh, what's wrong? Oh. You see, and some of you, your mothers still want to dress like they are 16 years, and you're like, mommy, wear something. No, hey, no, you know, we all have mothers like they want to dress like they are still 16 years old. So they wear something like, mommy, this one, they know. No, this one there is not good. So they feel they want to feel young, but they're not young. You see, so it's just very few adults who like to be youthful. Yes, no matter how youthful you try to look, oh, when we see you, we know that you are old. You are 68 or something. No matter how. Yeah. So it's a trait, very strong trait of youthfulness. It's like a exuberance. You want to look high. You want to look, you know, different. You want to sound different. You know, all of those things have never made sense to me. Yeah, all of those things have never made sense to me. So when I look at some people, I'm like, it doesn't make sense to me. You see that? They said that the reasons why earrings are given is so that we might be able to differentiate a girl from a guy upon a look. And many times they also have ornaments. They like to be adorned in ornaments. That's very, you know, characteristic of a girl. Then you now find a 19-year-old boy who goes to pier 2 ears. Then he has earrings. in both of his ears. It doesn't show anything. It just shows that, precious, I'll lash you. She says they've taken it from us. So the boys are trying to take over, you know, the position of a girl. You know, it's just youthful, you know. So you get to realize that. So maybe the next time you meet a girl, your boy who has like earrings on both ears, brother, you are taking our position, eh? Okay, that's right. So you get to realize that all of these things are very, they are very useful, right? Evil, you need to be last one. They've taken it from us. Okay, so Timothy is being written a letter, you know, by Paul, and he's telling them, you know, that kind of, you know, a sensation, flee from it. You see that? Flee from it. You see that? Flee from it. When it comes to, I work at the pharmacy, and I worked at the pharmacy, and you see that people will come in sometimes, and many of the times the old men, they like aphrodisiacs. You see that? Is it that? They want to buy something else, and I mean, it's just so that you are not youthful. You are not youthful. Yeah, it means you are not youthful. So you will find somebody who is youthful, active, energetic, full of these sensations. That's why I'm telling you that whenever you have some of these things happen to you, it's not that you have a problem, right? It just means that you need to introduce God's word that teaches you how to control it and how to make sure that you are able to, you know, be led by the Spirit, be full of the Spirit every time, right? So, Paul is writing to Timothy and is warning Timothy, you know, flee anything that is characteristic of youthfulness. Run away from it. Because when you're youthful as well, you're also very high on your emotions. Like, no, leave me. Let me tell you my mind. Hey, leave me. Let me. You are youthful. See, when you grow old, you don't tell people your mind. You just look at them quietly. You know that situations will tell them what you intend to tell them, even more bitterly. Like, even more in a bitter way. I don't know where that word is coming from. You see that? It's in a more bitter way. So you are just looking at them. So, would you advise? Oh, no. It's not advice I have to give you. Just enjoy yourself. So maybe after 5 years of enjoying yourself, you get to realize that, this thing, I didn't do it well. But you do not. Let me tell him what I have in my heart. Let me speak to him. Let him understand what I'm trying to say. You know that he doesn't. No, you just quiet. You too, quiet. My grandfather was like that. Very, very difficult when he was younger. When he grew old, 78, 75, 74, he never said it. He just be looking, quite smiling. He doesn't have to say a lot. You're going to learn one way or the other. Right? So, Paul is telling Timothy, run away. We said the word flee, right, is to escape safely out of danger. It means that there is danger somewhere, and then you disappear. You disappear. There's danger somewhere, and then you disappear. It's to seek safety by flight. Right? Yes. And, you know, seeking safety by flight is very understandable. You know, when a dog is chasing you, you know, there are things that are in your body. There are hormones. So adrenaline, they are flight or fright in their nature. So you see that, pa, 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 you have disappeared. Nobody knows where you passed, but you manage to disappear. And then we now have to ask you what happened. So the same instruction Paul is giving to Timothy, he's giving to us. And he's telling us, you need to flee youthful lust. You need to run away from it. I showed you this the last time we met in the previous verses. Paul was making references to how in a great house, they are great vessels, some unto honor, and then some unto dishonor. So we're supposed to run away from anything that is youthful and that is lustful. So to have a lust is to have strong, uncontrolled desires. And they are very characteristics of the youth. Strong, uncontrolled desires. Strong, uncontrolled desires for fame. Strong, uncontrolled desires for a name. Strong, uncontrolled desires for, you know, some very absurd things. Strong, uncontrolled desires for pleasure. And this, Paul is saying, you need to take certain flights or you run to a place of safety. Now, last week, we looked at a story where Joseph mirrors this very well. So Joseph was encountered by a temptation of a man, of a woman, who happened to be Potiphar's wife. We saw how that she took sight of him, fell in love with him, invited him to come lay with her. How that he resisted. She clung to him and he tore off his shirt. I mean, she tore off his shirt because she clung to his dress. So you get to realize that Joseph is running away suddenly. He didn't say, Oh, Madam Potiphar, please, I'm a son of God. No. He took to sudden flights. Like, you don't find him in the place any longer. I explained sudden flights the last time as not having relationships with. You block. You unfriend. You mute. I wish I could show you my what. I've muted some people. Yeah, I've muted some people. Because they don't add me in any way. And they post some very silly. So I just mute. Once I realize you are consistent, I just mute you. So there are people actually on my mute button. Yes. So you avoid those kind of people. You avoid seeing things that they share. You avoid taking counsel from them. So then we get to realize how that Joseph becomes the prime minister of the whole of Egypt. He's influencing the people with his wisdom. That must have been a vessel of honor. Meat for the master's use. Now today we're going to look at quite a directly opposite story. And we're going to be talking about many of the times the falls. We saw the positives. We're going to see the negative. And we're going to be taking a type for the story. And it's going to be on Samson. Very quickly, Judges 16. Judges 16. Judges 16. This is how many fall. It's just a very typical type. Now we're going to start reading from somewhere around verses 4. We're going to start from verse 4. Skip from 1 to 3. We're going to read a long story from verse 4. I'm going to read for the NIV version. Now, this is Samson. Some time later, he fell in love with a woman. He fell in love with a woman. Now, I want to share something with you. Many of the times, the temptations we fall into are things that we have purposed in our hearts and things that we love. Now, for example, if you love money and your friend takes you to a party, you see this married man with a Benz, then you know, he makes advances towards you. Now, you might not necessarily love him I'm showing you the roots of all of these things. But because you love his money, or because you love what he can give you, you're going to want to do anything that he wants you to do. Then he starts buying you gifts. So just take it. You know, if he's very wicked, he'll tell you from the beginning that, see, I'm not into this. I want you. He's going to tell you. He's very wicked. If he's not wicked, he will supposedly get into supplying your needs. So you needed 700 CDs. He sends you 2,000. You needed a phone. He buys it for you. You need a laptop. He gets you an Apple laptop, the latest one. You need something. He's there to just say, okay, you know, take this money, do this. Then at a point in time, you needed a certain kind of book. Then he said, oh, it's not a problem, you know, buy. So what's happening? He becomes very self-supplying, right? Becomes self-supplying. Now, anybody who happens to self-supply your needs, you're more likely to fall into the temptation of giving them something in return. Let me tell you something, it's a natural feeling of humans. Anybody that really does something for you, if you are a really responsible human, you might be looking out for what to do back in return, just to probably say thank you, or just to say, I'm appreciative of what you do. So, it is not even in, sometimes the reasons why people fall into some of these temptations is not because they like the man actually, or they like the young boy. No, it's because of their hearty disposition and where their heart is. So, they will not matter whoever it comes from, whatever they lay their hands on, they are sure and determined to get whatever they want to get from whoever they want to get, no matter whatever it comes with. So here is something who is falling in love with a woman. Now, let me tell you something. Listen to me very carefully. I'm going to teach this very controversially. Sorry. Now, do you know that Samson already was laying with other women? He already was when he met Delilah. He was already laying with other women. Now, let me show you that in verse 1. One day, Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. So he was already into sexual sins. He was already sleeping with other people. But you see, his fall started when he actually made up his mind to love from where the Lord says he should not love, and to get his hands on the things that God says he should not do. So, he's right there, spends the night with her. Now, in verse 4, he fell in love. So, many of the times, it will not be the sex that will bring those kind of consistent, I love. It is where the heart is. It's where the heart is. That's what will make you fall in for any kind of a temptation, is where the heart is. So, once the heart is in the wrong place, if the heart is at a position where it's curious, I just want to experience how it feels, then it means that the reasons why it's going to be doing that is not because maybe, you know, I can't do without it. I don't know, I can't do without it. No, it's because that's what's perceived in the heart. So Samson fell in love with a woman in the valley, Sorek, whose name was Delilah. So he looks and he loves what he sees. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him, so we may tie him up and subdue him, each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. Right? So, they have connived with Delilah. to bring down Samson. So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I will become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. When men hidden in the room, she called to Samson, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped up the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps. When it came close to a flame, so the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You made me a fool. You lied to me. Come now. Tell me what you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes, then have never been used, that have never been used, I become as weak as any other man." Delilah does that again. Verse 13, Delilah then said to Samson, "All this time you have been making me a fool and lying to me. Tell me how you have been tied." He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my hair into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his hair, wove them into the fabric, tightened it with a pin. Again, she called on him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep, pulled up the string and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made me a fool of me, and having told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she produced him day after day until he was sick to death. So here's that Delilah pursuing until he was sick to death. Many times, let me tell you something. When you find people supposedly tell you, "Oh, but you don't love me. I've been dating you for 2 years now. We've not even gone to a hotel before. You know, you've not even showed me that you really, really love me." And every time there's a text that comes in, every time there's a text that's coming in, so the person is pursuing. It's your fall. Remember, the fall, right, is in doing what God doesn't want you to do. Guy is still texting. Guy is still following. Guy is still sending you pictures, inviting you for dates, promising to send you out, promising to buy you this, promising to buy on your birthday, he buys you that. There's a persistence. Let me tell you something. But when these persistences come, don't get weary. Are you listening? Don't get weary. Don't get weary. Because many of the times, the falls come after you get weary. Like, you know, he's been really trying. Let me just agree. No, don't get weary. The more persistent whoever is responsible for your fall comes, the more resistant you will have to be. The more resistant you will have to be. So, you know, they're trying, persistency, texting, calling, doing that, sending in gifts, sending in flowers, sending in text messages, sending in whatever, trying. See, don't be moved. I told you from the very first teaching, if you're above 17, 16, sometimes even as early as 14, 15, we should be teaching some of these things. You know, because a guy telling you, "I'm in love with you, you know, I really love you," it's not strange. It shouldn't be. Until you get married, people are always going to come your way. People are always going to tell you, "We love you. I can't sleep without you. It's not going to, ever since I saw you, I've not been very fine. I've been, you know, having, you know, it's on my heart to talk to you. And, you know, you've not really met me before, but I took your number from so-and-so during so-and-so. And I've always wanted to talk to you, but it looks like you're being, hey, those things are not strange." So when you see people make such advances, don't let it get into your head. Like, "Oh, I think I'm very beautiful." And some of you, your problem is that you are so much capitalizing on your looks. And that's a very serious problem. Because the more you have anybody tell you, you look beautiful, you look this, you are looking that handsome, you look, then it feels like you begin to pay attention to the person. Like, oh, he's really appreciating my looks. He's really doing that. And I like the way he appreciates my looks. Only your looks. No, it can't be. Unbelievable. It can't be. It can't be. So Samson is pressured and is pressured. Let me tell you something. I've told you, in this ministry, getting to speak to someone about anybody who's trying to move to you, or maybe anybody who's trying to draw closer to you, or somebody who is in the process of molesting or probably trying to do something to you, is not strange. Your lecturer, you are speaking to, he's like, he's making advances towards you, and you can see it. He tells you to come around, tells you to do this, sends you text messages, does this with you. You should know that these are things that happen. And if there are things that happen, you must prepare yourself for those things. And you must be very bold whenever those things happen, or whenever you encounter those things. Yes, you must be very bold. Like, you must know that you're a child of God, you're born again, you're filled in the Spirit, and you will not fall in for certain temptations that come towards you. So there's need for boldness to resist those kind of temptations, to resist those kind of, what do you call it? Pressures that come from other people. Yeah? And never have it in your mind that when you report someone that the person is molesting you, you've done something wrong. See, let me tell you something. Report every single time. Are you listening? Yes. If you can report to the highest authority, report to the highest authority. Report. Yeah. Because you know why? If you don't, and they're going to stop, if they don't get to you, they're going to start working with somebody else. Yeah, they're going to start working with somebody else. So if you are not a victim, somebody else is going to be a victim. Yeah, somebody else is going to be a victim. So you don't take some of these issues very lightly and lose, like, I'm the only one. No, you look at all your 16-year sisters, your 14-year-old sisters that are still growing up. Yes, because they are probably the ones that are going to be victimized. So you don't handle these things as though it's a very serious thing and you are shy about it and you don't know what to do. No, this thing is just open. It's just that you tell them, see, this man has been sending me this, has been telling me this, has been doing me this. I just thought to report him to you. So that just in case, you see, that you don't feel shy about it, or you don't try to cover it in a certain way. It's very wrong when you try to cover it in a certain way. You try to make it feel like it's a very serious, issue that you can't handle. So you open up and you talk to somebody about it. And if they'll be in trouble, they have to be in trouble. Don't be afraid of being in trouble. Don't be afraid of trouble. Do you understand? Don't be afraid of trouble. Yeah, don't be afraid of trouble. If you invited trouble and trouble has come, then it means that we should solve the trouble amicably. Let's solve the trouble. So don't be afraid of speaking to someone about it. And don't be afraid of being bold about telling them plainly that, please, with all due respect, I would not have this continue. And if this continues, I might be forced to tell someone about it. Right? So you're going to be very firm on what your values and your principles are. Or your principles are. So don't play around with some of these things. So Samuel finally gives in because he has heard something from Delilah. She has persisted long enough. Then he told her everything. It means that now his fall has begun. His fall has begun. You see, if Samuel had avoided Delilah, all of these things wouldn't have come. And that's why the best thing to do is to totally avoid. Don't say, I want to test my abilities to stand against temptations. No, you are most likely going to fall. Like I said, don't trust yourself. Are you listening? Don't trust yourself. Don't say, no, I can handle it. You can't handle it. Before you realize you would have done something you wouldn't want to do. So don't trust yourself. If Bible says stop, stop. If Bible says block, block. If Bible says flee, flee. If Bible says cut off totally, cut off totally. Yeah. If Bible says do, don't do it. So don't avoid. Listen, whatever I'm telling you is something that I want you to do. Are you listening? It's something that I want you to do. It's something that I want you to start to practice, start to have mastery of. Don't feel like you are a victim or you are the one that's weaker in this case. You're not the one that's weaker in this case. You're not the one that's weaker. You're the one that's supposed to be stronger in this case. So Delilah pursues till Samson finally gives in. Verse 17, see what he's done. He's told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. My head was shaved, my strength will leave me. He says, if my head was shaved, my strength will leave me, and I will become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, he sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, you see, he was entertaining. He was entertaining. I said, don't entertain at all. Eh? Then she now called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair. So he starts to lose out on his strength, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from sleep and thought, oh, Samson. He awoke from sleep. And thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him. Right? Something has left. Something has left. He thought he could do the same things he could do, but it was not the same. He thought the anointing was still present, but it was not the same. You see, it's good to stick to God's instructions. When he tells you flee, flee. Right? When he tells you avoid, avoid. He knows why he's telling you avoid, so just avoid. So he went, and the person, the presence of God was no longer there. Don't go to the movies. Don't involve in anything sensual. Avoid. It's not that you are saying, you know, No, you just don't trust yourself. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want, even though God could have told you, stand there and speak in tongues. He could have told Timothy that. Speak in tongues towards youthful lust. That's what he wants to say. Speak in tongues towards youthful lust. Shabarabarabarabarabaraba. It doesn't do anything. Yeah. Or pray about youthful lust. He's not saying pray. He's saying stop, avoid. Don't have anything to do. Flee. Run away. Oh, I can't stop this man. I can't stop this man. Meanwhile, you're in the man's car. And he's taking you somewhere. And he's drove you to a place. And says, I can't avoid the temptation. And you are in a man's car. Don't do that. Yeah. Avoid totally. A guy, a lady is coming to sleep in your room. Say, okay, I don't have a room, but maybe you live at Medina. Say, hey. And then maybe somebody lives at Spana or La Paz. You pick up your phone instantly. You say, you call, brother, so and so. Hey, Charlie, how are you? Brother, so and so, is your place available? I've been coming to sleep, but I want to come there today. I say, oh, why are you coming? It's already 9:20. Say, brother, I'm coming right now. I'll get there around 10:30, 10:40. Come and open the door for me. I'll call you when I'm there. And you say, sister, that's fine. You can spend the night here. I will see you tomorrow in the morning when you are leaving. So you're trying, you're not saying you just are not in for any whatever. You just mark and say no, avoid. You take the bed, I'm going, I'll see you tomorrow. One time I went to a place to minister, I was in the room. And then, you know, the host pastor told me a lady wanted to see me and that she wanted to sow a seed and whatever. And I said, okay. I think I learned that from Kenneth Hagin, number one. Not extant, and then Pastor Nathaniel Bassi. They don't have anybody come inside to see them if you are a lady. So I said, okay, that's very fine. But you come alongside with her. So I made the pastor schedule a time with her. Then they came together. Yeah, and when they came together, the pastor said, oh, please, I'm standing outside, I'll be waiting. I said, no, sit here, there's nothing, everything I'll talk to her about, I should be able to talk about it to her in your presence. There's no need to go anywhere. Not that I can't, if you leave me inside, there's nothing that will happen. Yes, there's nothing that will happen. But you see, I am not having very heightened opinions of who I am. I'm trying to tell you that I'm man. That's all. Yeah, I remember a story Kenneth Hagin shares, and he was going somewhere to preach, and then he had this lead that night to go with his wife. So, you know, very unusual, but he still, you know, goes with his wife, and then, you know, while he was in there with his wife, the people who actually had thought to trap him, right, thought he was there alone. So, you know, there was a knock on the door. And then his wife went to get the door. And the moment she opened the door, there was a lady almost naked that moved into the hotel room with cameras and people behind it. So there's like she moved in with cameras behind it. And so Kenneth Hagin's wife quickly opened the door wider and told Kenneth, Prophet Kenneth, or Kenneth Hagin, as they called him, his signature name, to run out. So there was screams that, Kenneth, run! And that's how he ran out of the place. Yeah, so he ran out of the place. And now it was his wife together with the people and then the almost half-naked woman who had come to pick up a press issue on him. So, it's not that you are trying to be, what do you call it? Trying to be strong spiritually. No. You are just trying to avoid. You don't want that kind of a temptation lurking at your door. Do you understand? You don't want that kind of a temptation lurking at your door. Don't go to visit that guy when you break from school and nobody is in the house. You are calling it for yourself. And maybe too, you are so much in love with this guy. You know very well that you shouldn't even be going, but you are still going there. What are you telling God? You are telling God that the thing you said I should flee from, I'm running to. I'm running to the thing. Isn't it? I should flee from? I'm wiser than you. I'm running to it. I'm going to hug it. And that becomes the fall. of many men. Now we know what happens to Samson. He rises up at the point, he shook himself, he realized something was missing. Something is gone. It's not the same again. It's not the same again. It's not the same again. Something has happened to me. What's this happening to me? It's happening to me. What's going on? And then the Philistines finally hold him captive. Now he had become prey, and he had become a victim of the very thing that he had been told not to do. So here's the catch. God tells you to do something, do it. God tells you not to do something, don't do it. Do you understand? Should I share with you a story? Should I share with you a story? No, I'll share with you a story. Maybe I'll share with you a story in 5 years' time. You see that? But let me tell you one thing. Flee. I think it's a good example, so I should share it with you. When I came to level 100, I was already pastoring with my pastor at ICGC Church. So I got to Accra. The first time I got to Accra, very first time I got to Accra, there was this old-time friend that texted me, and she said, "Oh, you are now in Accra." I said, "Yeah," because I used to teach them also a few things, you know. And she said, "Oh, then I should get to meet you and visit you." I was like, "How many years was that?" I said, "Hey, it's not a problem." I mean, I'd known her in and out and all. So I remember, I said, "Okay, tell me where we'll go to." And she said, "We are going to the movies." I said, "To the movies? To the movies? To do what?" She said, "Watch a movie." I said, "Watch a movie is a good idea." You see that? So I said, "Okay, watch a movie is a good idea." So level 100. I just come to school like 2 days old. Yeah, 2 or 3 days. I was not even... Yeah, 2 or 3 days. But I knew there was God's call upon my life. Because I remember very well. Before my year into school, I went to minister in a church. And it was an all-night program. I would never forget. It's one of the things that I can't forget. And then I started prophesying in detail as to how a certain accident was going to happen and to how some things were going to happen. Now, if the all-night ended at 4, let me tell you how my ministry in Tamale, they started taking it seriously. It was after this church meeting. That was when I got to know, you know, many of the ICGC heads. And then they started recognizing me as a prophet. And I prophesied that 4 a.m., 4:30, there was an accident that happened on the Tamale The bus was actually coming from Kumasi. So when it got to somewhere around, is it Bupe or Yape? And then the accident happened. And the same way I said it. I think the lady lost one of her kids. Her husband's leg was amputated. And like it went all over. So I knew that. But I was very hurt that I saw it. We even prayed about it. That's the funny thing. We even prayed about it, but the thing still happened. And I was very hurt. So I'd come to school with all of those. And she said, "Let's go to the movie." I said, "Okay." This story is my pastor that will tell you. It's he will be the one to tell you how it happened very, very well. So I got to the place. The movies is a good idea to go to the movies. So we got into the movies. And she said, I mean, I was sitting right in the next chair, and she was sitting in 2 chairs away from me. She said, "Oh, no, come closer." I mean, I just had an innocent mind, so I just came closer to her. "Hey, And I said, what are you trying to do? Hey, no, we don't do that. Ah, no, we don't do that. Don't do that. And the funny thing is that we're maybe the only ones, or maybe some other two people. I said, ah, don't try that. Then she was quiet. So I kept on looking at her and said, hey, don't try that. The movie, I don't know whether the movie ended or the movie was about to end. I don't know whether the movie was, I just said, hey, we have to go. We have to go. I said, we have to go. She said, oh, go to where? I said, hey, we have to go. I left there. I said, no, we have to go right now. Not when the movie is done. We have to go right now. We have to go. So she said, okay, let's go. Yes, I was fleeing. But right, not up. We have to go. Please, I don't want any trouble. We have to go. Yeah, we have to go. So I don't know whether I finished or anything, but I knew that we had to go. So I left. When I came back, I sent a text and I said, you, please, our friendship is over. Yeah, our friendship is, it has ended. We don't have anything. Our friendship is over. We don't have anything in common again. Yeah, if you see me, I mean, you see what? Delilah. She started crying. I said, yeah, this crisis doesn't do anything. Or see, it's a persistent appeal. It's persistent. She started crying. I said, hey, our friendship, it's not even relationship, our friendship is not there. Yeah. So why am I sharing this with you? The same principle. The moment you realize, me, I didn't even know that those were the intentions. So I just said, hey, we don't have to do it again. We don't have to visit any movie again. We don't have to find even, what do you call it? Church won't go together. Church won't go together. Me and you won't go to church. No movie. Yeah, so that's how we ended the thing. Yeah. So please, fleeing is how you go about this. Now, if I teach you all of this, let me tell you something. I'm a very quiet person. Nobody knows many of the things I've gone through. So when you see me open up and share these things to you, I'm actually now becoming your pastor, because now I'm able to tell you what I ordinarily will not tell you. Whether it's a temptation or not, I will not tell you. It doesn't mean anything. You see, it doesn't mean anything to you. You see that? But I'm telling you how to go about it. You spot the person, say, no, the relationship has ended. You're my friend. We are not friends any longer. We're not friends any longer. Don't text me or tag me as friend. Do you see that? Uh-huh. And truly, she was a good friend to me. Yeah, she was a good friend to me. Yeah. She had helped me quite a couple of times. Yeah. But she was not from there. I realized that is the devil working to a man. I just knew that's the devil. So we don't have anything. I don't want to have anything doing with a source of the devil. I don't want that. So when I got to school, I didn't, when I got to school, now that was it. I said, mm-mm. I will not see her again. Yeah, I won't see you again. That's all. So I want you to have these approaches too. Are you listening? No, whatever. No consistent, whatever, nothing. And don't trust yourself. Don't feel like you are too capable of controlling or keeping or managing. Were you more controlling or keeping than myself? Maybe not. But I avoided. Yes. So also avoid. You mark your avoid. Say, this person wants to do this. I can see. She wants to do this. He wants to do it. I can tell. Say, no, we can't have anything in common. Right? And I believe strongly that God's going to help you. Mm-hmm. God is going to. There are sometimes people call, she'll call you and say, oh, are you there? Can I come? Say, no, please, you can't come. You can't come. Oh, why can't I? I'm the only one here. You can't come. When my roommate comes, then you come. When my roommate comes, then you come. You can't come. And, oh, it's something. It's something very much. It's very much something. If you're coming, come with three of your friends. Yes. God is going to strengthen you and grant you the wisdom to be able to avoid, abstain, do away with. I said, if anybody starts making a move towards you, seeking interest in, the first person you should tell is your pastor. Tell the pastor, please, so-and-so, this is what's happening, and this is what's happening. Or you speak to your teacher, and that moment, not 2 seconds after, that moment you are done, you refer it to me. Two of you, you come to me. Do you understand? Yes. And I believe strongly that God is going to help you. Don't fall in for any temptation of somebody buying you something, somebody doing this for you. There's nothing that's compared to you. And there's nothing that should be able to buy you. And there's nothing that should be worth enough to be able to possess you when it's giving you. There's nothing. Are you listening? So the guys, also, you will watch out. You will watch out very, very, very well. You will watch out. Open your eyes. Don't fall into any temptation. When you see that there is an opportunity to be tempted, don't go into it. Don't go into it. I have very few. I mean, maybe this is the only experience I have. Because I'm able to tell, okay, no, this is not the time. This is not what you should do. Because from then I've learned. Yes, I've learned that no, you don't do that. Yes, you don't do that. So try and tighten up your boundaries. Are you listening? Try and tighten up your boundaries. Nobody should visit you at odd hours. Nobody should stay there long enough. You know, just respectfully, please, it's late. And I think you have to go so that tomorrow we could. My roommate is here, so tomorrow you can come and visit us. Thank you so much for being kind. So it means that now you also have boundaries. You will watch your clothing, the way you dress, the way you present yourself. Because sometimes, many times, you know, the women will also lead out, you know, or throw out the bait very subtly. You see that? And you have to be like very careful that you don't fall in for certain baits that are thrown at you, right? You don't fall in for certain baits that are thrown at you. So I want you to be able to be firm, be strong, make up your mind, pay attention to details. Pay attention to details. Pay attention to what somebody's communicating to you that they are not saying. Pay attention to that. Because there's sometimes people can be communicating to you and they are not saying it, but they are communicating it to you. It's showing in their languages, it's showing in their mannerisms. Pay attention to all of those things. With all of that, once you are skilled at knowing that, you will be able to safely handle them well. You see that? I've had to deal with, this for the young men who are here, you'll be dealing with young ladies. Yes, treat them like your sisters. Are you listening? Treat them like your sisters. If it were your sister, you wouldn't want somebody to do that to you. So don't do it to someone. Meanwhile, Jesus Christ teaches us not to do that to anybody. So when you see a young girl who is innocent in her mind, and she seems to be liking you, or she seems to be falling in love with you, please help channel it very healthily. You see that? There's a way you can channel whatever it is, whoever is giving to you, very healthily. So that, you see, one of the greatest things that you can do, you know, is to responsibly help channel the love that people have for you very healthily. Yeah. I think maybe I would have to teach you that tomorrow. So you channel it rightly. You know, as a guy, you need to learn how to channel it rightly. Don't take advantage of them. And don't say, they were the ones that forced me into... No, you're supposed to help them. Do you see that? You're supposed to help them. Yeah? You're supposed to help them. So the young ladies, you're going to help them. You see that somebody is doing... No, help them. They sometimes are not even, whatever, wise enough to choose or make very good decisions in any way. So you are the one that will help them. You are the one that will put them in the right place when it seems like they are swaying off. Jesus, don't take advantage of them. Please don't take advantage of them. Because if you take advantage of them, I'm going to come after you. And it will be very sad. You know, it will be very sad. So don't take advantage of anybody. Please, if you see that someone is, help them. You see, help them come to that realization. Let them feel okay. You know, they should be able to trust you. That, oh, this person is, and you will not do that. She should be able to trust that. Right? Yes. So don't take advantage of anybody. Don't force anybody to do something. When you realize somebody is liking you in a certain way, try and then turn that love into something else. There's a way you do it. Right? There's a way you do it. You try and turn it. Try and turn it into something. Don't also be playing along. When you play along, you are helping them to be victims of whatever it is you are teaching them. Or whatever it is you don't want them to amount into. Alright? Okay, so help them. Help them. Everybody's going to grow at a point. And everybody's going to get to handle these things as time goes on. But until now, I clearly understand this very well. I'm a pastor of young people or youthful people. And that is quite understandable. And you will have these things come up time in and time in and time in and time in again. So you must be very responsible. Enough. Are you listening? Be very, very, very responsible to be able to, just safeguard people's emotions, safeguard whichever way they're feeling, you know, just safeguard it until they can grow out of it. You know, sometimes they will even be thankful to you, you know, when they grow and you never took advantage of them. Yes, they'll be thankful to you. Whenever they see you, they'll be like, I always did this, but Uncle this didn't agree. You see that? I always did this. I knew what I was doing, but he didn't. He rather helped me, you know, through it. Are you listening? Together we're going to build healthy ministries and walks with the Lord, you know, as we follow his plan and, you know, as we follow his will. Alright? I believe that God's preparing us for something really special. And so he will want to purge out all of these things. So that hearts can be fully, you know, released for whatever it is he wants to do. And when you see that somebody loves the Lord, the person loves the Lord genuinely. It's like it's very genuine. It's not that, you know, the person loves the Lord, but when we get to hear that you are doing some things and we are saying, wow, why did you do that? And then we ought to all be asking, oh, why did you have to do that? Do you see that? Yes. So when you love the Lord, see, love the Lord genuinely. Do you understand what I'm saying? Love the Lord genuinely. Don't love the Lord and there are things that you are hiding and things that you are doing. Who are you? Who are you deceiving? Who are you deceiving? Tell me. You're deceiving me? Oh, you can deceive me for a while, but we'll still get to know. So love the Lord genuinely, right? When you kneel down, it should be genuine kneeling down. When you lift up your hands, it should be genuine lifting up your hands. It's not that you are lifting up your hands and then you are thinking of doing something next that is not right. No. Yes. So you love the Lord genuinely. You serve him genuinely. You pray genuinely. I'm not saying don't have relationships. Many of you probably are ready enough to have relationships, but have healthy relationships, devoid of any destruction, of anything that's sin, of anything that causes you to do the things that you are not supposed to do. And yes, sex before marriage is not God's plan, I tell you. And it rips you off so many things. I probably will take time discussing that with you. So I want you to keep your eyes on serving the Lord and avoiding all of these things that are distractions. So that in the end of it all, we all can happily and joyfully attend weddings and celebrate with you. And I'm hoping that, you know, I'll get to be at weddings and officiate weddings. I'm not sure our church are going to officiate weddings, but hopefully, you never know, right? So we'll have healthy marriages, healthy homes. And I trust God for this. And I believe Him for this.